There's a wonderful Living with Shiva lesson sometime in the last few days that came out, which talks about Parshiva, so I thought I'd read it. It's called The Mission of the Mission. A legacy of devas from the entire parampara accompanies our monastic order, providing silent, unseen inner guidance and protection for old and young alike. As long as at least one person within the entire group of Madhavasis is going into and coming out of Parashiva once a day, the doorway to the third world remains open to the hereditary entourage of devanic forces that has been building up for over 2,000 years. This is because the Brahmarandra, the door of Brahman at the top of the head, remains open when Parashiva is daily experienced within a Madhavasi community. It could be the oldest monk or within the youngest. This great realization occurring time and time again within someone day after day keeps the door of Brahm open for the entire Pranachakravala of monastics, keeping vibrantly strong the inner actinic connection with all gurus of our parampara, as well as all other sadhus, rishis, and saints who have reached these same attainments, and with the sapta rishis themselves who guide our order from deep within the inner locus. So that's just sitting there, this huge amount of wisdom and Living with Shiva lesson has multi facets. Of course, the one that stands out the most is the idea that, gee, someone needs to realize Parashiva every day within the monastic community. And it shows the importance of having meditations to try and do that. And it also shows it doesn't just fall upon one person. It doesn't even mention the guru here. It says, oh, it might be the senior monastics, it might be the youngest monastic. So it's like it's everyone's duty to give it a try. We all share in this responsibility of trying to realize Parashiva every time we have a morning meditation. We have a morning meditation on our Kulam days from about 6 to 7 in the morning. And it's during that time we all try and realize Parashiva, and we hope at least one made it. Two or three is safer. In case one fell asleep or something. So, so that's puts a different perspective on Parashiva. You know, it doesn't look that optional, or it doesn't look that far off, or it doesn't look that like the end of the path. It looks like, gee, this is something we should be doing every day, like cooking lunch, you know. This is an important part of monastic life. It's not something special. So it puts it in a very nice perspective. And then it shows how much help is going on the inside. And it's interesting, one of the Shishya wrote in recently, and he asked for some advice, and I gave him some advice, and he's reflecting on it, and he said, you know, it's starting to feel like I have two gurus. Is that okay to feel I have two gurus, Gurudeva on the inside and you in the first world? And I said, sure, that's fine, but, you know, why stop at two? You can keep counting. You know, Yogaswami is still there. That's at least up to three. And if you keep going, maybe you'll get four or five. You know, how many are there actually on the inside working with each of us? You know, it's a very good question. Something we haven't thought about a lot, and of course now we are, but this points it out in a very broad sense that, you know, there's a lot of help on the inside going on that comes along with the parampara. And as long as the monastic community upholds its disciplines and keeps the Adinam's vibration up, then it'll be there. All this help on the inside for, of course, not just the monks, but everyone who's participating in the parampara to benefit from in their lives, both spiritual and material. Goes on. My Saiva Swamis, or Nada Swamis, are distinguished by their orange robes, gold Nada earrings, and three strands of Rudraksha beads. They are the Saiva Siddhanta Yoga order, known as the Saiva Swami Sangam, when they gather in ecclesiastical conclave. The Sangam does not follow the protocol of unanimous decision. Rather, it works in intuitive one-mindedness to carry out instructions from the Kailasapeetam, our spiritual seat of authority, to better the Saivite mission and the individuals dedicated to its success. These sannyasins are not looked upon as individuals so much as an integrated council, assembled and working in unison to perform a holy work as Shiva Nadiyars, servants of God Shiva, guided by the Satguru. The Saivaswami Sangham forms the ecclesiastical body of our Hindu church, which works in a humble way to protect the purity of the faith among all Hindu sects through inspiring publications and other means of encouragement. Specifically, our order's mission is to protect, preserve, and promote the Saivite Hindu religion as embodied in the Tamil culture, traditions, and scriptures of South India and Sri Lanka. Our monastic order follows a cenobitic pattern in which monastics live in community and work together toward common objectives. Sannyasins of this order are not wandering sadhus or silent contemplatives, known as anchorites. Rather, they are members of a brotherhood working closely and industriously with their satguru and with their brother monastics. At the time of sannyas diksha, each has accepted the mission of the Kailasa Parampara as his own, to protect and perpetuate Saivism, to serve Hindus the world over, to provide, teach, and disseminate scripture, religious literature, and practical instruction, to promote temple construction, and to exemplify the dignity and enlightenment of our Nandinatha Sampradaya. Living under lifetime vows of renunciation, humility, purity, confidence, and obedience, these sannyasins are bound to fulfill their unique role in the Saivite culture of religious exemplars and staunch defenders of the faith. Their ideal is to balance outward service, sivathondu, and inward contemplation, realization, sivayana, for a rich, fulfilling, and useful life. So that gives a very nice description of our tradition, and one reason I read it was we had the privilege of accepting two yogis this evening. You may have noticed some yellow being worn. Yogi Mahadevan and Yogi Japendranatha taken up the yogi staff of tapas in preparation for possible sannyas. So it's a wonderful pattern that Gurudev established, working together. And it's one of the reasons we're able to do so much. And one of the reasons even Gurudev was able to do so much is he had a good support team. And so it's the reason we're able to continue on all our activities. There's 24 of us working together very closely to fulfill the different aspects of the mission that Gurudev set in motion. Last but not least, now is the time. Now's the time for what? So when it comes to realizing Parashiva and even Satchitananda, now is the time. We tend to put it off. Say, I'm not ready. I'm unworthy. I'm too busy. We tend to put it off. But it doesn't work in the way that something matures. In other words, it's independent of the maturity of the soul. It doesn't correspond in a direct way. It's just something happens in your karma and you have a realization. You can't predict it. So we want to be careful not to put it off by thoughts that I'm not ready, that, oh, maybe when I'm older, or maybe when this happens, maybe when that happens. You know, now is the time. Could be this very moment. Maybe it just happened. Don't have to put it off. So it needs a different attitude than we're used to in spiritual life. Spiritual life, we tend to think, well, I'm making slow and steady progress. Everything's going along nicely. You know, this is good. This is great. But when it comes to realization, it doesn't work that way. That's just the spiritual soul body maturing. It's going along quite steadily, making progress. This is good. But the deeper realizations, you step out of time. It's not maturing. It's there all the time in the essence of the soul. So if we can somehow claim it, if our meditation is intense enough, our mind is pure enough, and we can claim it, why not claim it now? Now is the time. Om Namah Shivaya.